make up Mar Makomos for this evening's shiur. I didn't have a chance. I wanted to discuss, we're within a couple of days of Shavuos already, we're within 2 days of Shavuos, so I wanted to discuss an inyan relating to the Yom Tov of Shavuos, and an inyan that I never discussed before in the past, and that is Megillas Rus. Not to give a shiur on the Megillah per se, it's our Tuesday night halacha shiur, so we'll try to keep it to halacha, but to discuss various halachic issues relating to Megillas Rus. First of all, and this will probably be the bulk of the shiur, is why we have the minhag of reading Megillas Rus on the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Then, once we get past why we have the minhag, to understand the various minhagim and how it changed or didn't change, what the different shitos were when it comes to making a bracha on Megillas Rus. Apparently, our minhag, obviously, is we don't make a bracha on Megillas Rus, yet, when it comes to Megillas Esther, we certainly do make a bracha. And there may have been others that had a minhag to make a bracha Megillas Rus. Try to understand that topic a little bit better. The Gra famously was nohag to make a bracha on Megillas Rus. And then to discuss very briefly the time that we read Megillas Rus, meaning at which point during davening and why during that point of davening do we read Megillas Rus. So let's start at the beginning. First of all, let's make it very clear. There is no halacha to read Megillas Rus, it is clearly a minhag. It's a minhag, it's quoted that way in the Magen Avraham, it's quoted that way by the Ramah. The Ramah in Or HaChaim Sim Tav Tzadi Siftes quotes in the name of the Abu Draham in his Seder HaTfilah BePesach that there is a minhag that Liyom Sheni, Shel Golios, Gomrin HaSahalal, V'yoshim V'korin, Megillas Rus, and we read Megillas Rus, but it seems very clearly that it's a minhag. Now, the Ramah doesn't use the word minhag, but nevertheless, the later Achronim do. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav in Siman Tav Tzadi uses that word, the idea that it's only a minhag, and that's going to obviously be very critical to us, that it's only a minhag, it's not a din. For instance, if a person misses Megillas Rus in Shul, so do you have to make it up? So when you have a mitzvah, so that's a chiyuv on you to hear, so you miss Megillas Esther on Purim, so certainly you have to go make it up. You have to hear Megillas Esther at some point. But Megillas Rus, it's a minhag, and the minhag is to read it. In the tzibur, it doesn't seem that there's a minhag that a yachid reads Megillas Rus, although there are those that believe that the minhag was al kol yachid v'yachid. We'll discuss that a little bit later. But it seems that the widely accepted custom is that it's read in shul. It's not a minhag that it becomes part of davening. It's a minhag that we read it in shul. And if a person misses it, then they wouldn't have to make it up because it's only a minhag. Now, why do we have such a minhag? So I saw in this the Sefer, Moed Musimcha, he quotes a top 10 list. 10 reasons why we read Megillas Rus. Some of them more interesting than others. Some of them are very easy to expand upon and reveal to us something about the Yom Tov, reveal to us something about what we're celebrating on Shavuos, and others are a little less interesting, I guess. Reason number one, he quotes from the Alkut Shimoni. The Alkut Shimoni writes, "Ma inyan Rus etzel atzeres shenikreis batzeres bizman matan Torah." Why do we choose Rus to read on the Yom Tov Shavuos at the time of matan Torah? L'lamdecha shlo nitna Torah el al yidei yisurin va'oni. The lesson of Megillas Rus is that we should understand that the natural way one acquires Torah is through suffering and through being poor and struggling, and that's a natural way for one to acquire Torah. And that lesson is derived from Rus. The Medrash says, "Amra Torah lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu." The Torah says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Tein chelki b'shevet shel oni," that I want specifically my chelek to be in the area of Oni, not in the area of Osher. Meaning I want those who study me to be suffering, to have to struggle through life, not to be people who are very wealthy and have everything coming easily to them. Why? She'im ashirim oskim bi, yiyu misgaim. If wealthy people are studying me, are involved in me, the Torah says, they're going to end up becoming arrogant and haughty. Avul k'shem aniyim, but when they're aniyim, when they're poor, hey misaskim bi veheim yodim shem ra'evim u'shvalim. Then they're going to know that they're starving and that they're low, and that's very critical for the study of Torah. And the Medrash specifically says, associates the need for Torah with hunger. that when you have a dor, you have a generation that's hungry, they'll be hungry for Torah as well. Now, this is obviously not to suggest that someone who has money, that someone who's wealthy, is unable to study Torah. Some of the greatest Tanaim and Amoraim were Rav Yehuda HaNasi was very wealthy, was an extremely wealthy person. We don't need to look any further than Avraham Avinu, who's an extremely wealthy person, the wealthiest person in the world at the time. So obviously one does not need to be a poor person in order to study Torah, but the trend tends to be that one who is wealthier has a little bit more gaiva, he has more reason, people bow to him all day. People are always telling him how great he is because everyone wants a piece of him when someone's wealthy. And human nature is when people are telling you how great you are all day, you tend to start believing it after a while. Whereas someone who's poor doesn't have anyone telling him how great he is all day. And therefore, his human nature is when people don't even pay any attention to you, you start to believe that maybe you're not worth paying any attention to. And a person is likely to be more humble. So that's the real issue is humility versus gaiva. It's not an issue of wealth versus non-wealth. And Torah works best with humble people. That's why it dafka had to be, who was Anav Mikal Adam? It had to be the one who brought us the Torah, had to be not just an Anav, but Anav Mikal Adam. Because Torah works best within the person who is most humble. And there, that paradigm of humility had to be the one who brought us the Torah. It had to be through Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why, you know, there's some Amari Chazal that have a certain mazel to them. That for some reason, everybody knows certain Ma'amari Chazal. And other Ma'amari Chazal, which are also equally fascinating and interesting, don't have the same mazel. So every kid in kindergarten knows. I know the Parsha questions I asked after davening this past week. So the one question every young child, 3 years old and older, was able to tell me was when I asked, was Har Sinai the biggest mountain? And every single child knew, no, it was the smallest mountain. It was because it was so humble, and Hashem wanted, I don't know if they used the word humble, but it wasn't a big shot, so Hashem wanted to give the Torah and Har Sinai. So that Maimar Chazal has a lot of mazel. But it's not just mazel, it's because it worked its way into our educational system to such an extent because it's so yesodistic. It's so important to the acquisition of Torah that a person needs to be humble if they're going to wear Torah properly, if they're going to acquire Torah properly and use it properly. It's critical that the person have a sense of humility. It just doesn't work when Torah won't work with a person that has gaiva. A person that has gaiva is likely to misuse the Torah. It's not a good match when a person has gaiva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, the Gemara Maseches Pesachim tells us that kolam is ga'e, when a person feels a sense of gaiva, even if he's a Talmud Chacham, the Torah is nishtakach himenu. He's going to forget a piece of Torah that it just doesn't fit. They repel each other. Gaiva and Torah don't work together. I just had a recently one of my Talmidim had a serious, you know, one of my older Talmidim who was a few years out of high school already, so he was flying high and learning really well for a while. And then he had a serious yirida. He just wasn't really learning much in the past several months, I would say. Just pretty much shut down in terms of Torah learning. And for whatever reason, the reasons aren't important for our discussion, but I was talking to one of the other Rebbeim, and I said, you know, did you have a chance to talk to this fellow? And the other Rebbe said, you know, I started to talk to him, but it was very difficult to talk to him because he was just dripping with gaiva. It was like a different person. It's like everything, it was just so difficult to listen to him talk. It was gaiva on top of his gaiva on top of his gaiva. It was just so, he was just dripping with gaiva. It was very difficult. And it struck me at the time that that's the very first reason why Rus is read on the Yom Tov of Shavuos. It's because it's to pretty much drive home the point to us that gaiva doesn't fit with Torah. When there's Torah, there has to be anivus. And if there's no anivus, there's not going to be Torah. That's the point number one about Zman Matan Torah Seinu, and reason number one that we read Rus. Because again, Rus is a book about Oni. It's about a person who suffered tremendously and it was in very difficult circumstances, and that's what enabled her to become this wonderful person who was able to be Mekabel the Torah as a Giores, etc. A second reason why we read Megillas Rus on the Yom Tov of Shavuos is also mentioned by many different Sfarim, the Manhig, the Abudram, and that's that the entire story of Rus seems to take place around the time period of the year. the Yom Tov Shavuos. The Megillah itself says that, in fact, the Machzor Vitri writes, Al Shem Shekasavo, because it says in the very first chapter of us, B'tchilas Ktzir Sa'orim, that it was at the time of the beginning of the Ktzir Sa'orim, of the harvesting of the barley, so Tachas Atzeres Shenikra Bikurei Ktzir Chitim. So we read it at the time of the harvesting of the grains, which is on the Yom Tov Shavuos, and that's what the Manig writes as well. He writes, V'atam Shemati L'fi Shekasav Bo V'heim Abo Beis Lechem B'tchilas Ktzir Sa'orim V'uzman HaKatzir. So at the time of the harvest, that's when Rus took place, that's when the story, the main part of the story, took place, and therefore we read it because it fits the time of year. Now obviously that reason wouldn't suffice, because just because it took place that time of the year, one would have to see some larger connection, meaning that wouldn't be enough reason. There are lots of books in Tanakh that were stories in Tanakh that took place at different parts of the year, and we don't necessarily always read those stories on the anniversary. So unless you say that, no, we needed to be mesakein reading all the Megillos at a certain point, Megillah for whatever reason has to get read. So if it's going to get read and we need to find the time of year to read it, so then maybe the time of year that it occurred would be a logical way to make that decision. But just to say stam, a story in Tanakh happens at a certain time of year, you have to read it that day, so that's probably not enough of a reason. Okay, third reason. The Abudram quotes another reason, and he writes as follows, that the reason we read Rus on Atzeres is a zecher l'maimer Har Sinai on the day of Shavuos, because the entire Klal Yisrael at Maimon Har Sinai were all Gerim, and I think that's the most commonly given reason, probably, that we've heard the most often, is that Rus is a story of Gerus. We learn all of Hilchos Gerus from Rus. Many Rabbanim on the night of Shavuos spend a lot of time talking about Gerus. That's a very common topic on Shavuos, and therefore Rus, because we all became Gerim, that's when we entered the fold, that's when we entered Klal Yisrael, so we read a story that tells us a lot about Gerus. Reason number four, and this is quoted in the Sefer Otzer HaMinhagim, he writes as follows, that the reason we read Megillas Rus on the Yom Tov of Shavuos, and again, it's not exactly a complete reason for Dafka this Megillah, but he says a reason to read a Megillah on the Yom Tov of Shavuos, and this reason could probably be coupled, could be paired with some of the other reasons to be mashlim each other, he says, is that on the Yom Tov of Shavuos, which is Man Matan Torah Seinu, we want to show the totality of Torah, and we want to make sure we study Torah in every area. So what do? We have a Kriyas HaTorah, where we're reading from the Torah. Then we have a Haftorah, where we read from Navi. But we want to make sure we get Ksuvim in there also. So in order to cover all of Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, to have that balance, to have that broad picture of all of Torah, of all of Tanakh, so that's why we read Rus on the Yom Tov Shavuos. And again, as I said, that would explain why it's important to read Ksuvim, not why it's important to specifically read Rus. But when you pair it with one of the other reasons, like we said, perhaps the reason that Rus is a story that happened this time of year, so those two reasons can work in partnership and explain why it's Dafka, you need to have something from Ksuvim, and why we chose Rus of all the things we could choose from Ksuvim. So together it works as a good reason. Now the truth is, this is a common theme in general. The Shalos Tshuvas Bris Avraham writes as follows. He says, "Nearly lases od tam l'shvach b'minhagi Yisrael kitareim mizesh anu nogim likros Megillas Rus b'chag Shavuos." He says, "I'll tell you the real reason that we read Rus b'chag Shavuos, similar to the reason we just said of having this totality of Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim." He says, "Because Rus not only tells us about halacha and about Torah, but it even highlights the importance of minhag. It even highlights how important minhagim are in Klal Yisrael." Pasuk says, "Vizos lufnim bi Yisrael." It's an unusual phrase. Pasuk says in Megillas Rus, "Vizos lufnim bi Yisrael." What does it mean, "Vizos lufnim bi Yisrael"? It means this is what they did. This is how things were done. And highlighting the importance of minhag is also part of Torah, that we want to have this idea that, and that relates a lot, obviously, to the idea that Torah Shebal Peh, Shavuos is not only a Yom Tov of Torah Shebichsav, but Torah Shebichsav comes coupled with Torah Shebaal Peh. We need to appreciate Torah Shebaal Peh as well. So the highlight of Minhag, which is, I guess, the lowest form of Torah Shebaal Peh, is something that's critical in terms of understanding the breadth and the totality of Torah. It's very similar to what the Gemara in Kiddushin says, that each and every day we're supposed to study Torah in a way that covers the broadest range of Torah topics. The Gemara in Kiddushin says that we're supposed to divide loli mishalish adam shnosav. You should divide your years into three parts. Shlish b'mikra, shlish b'mishnah, shlish b'talmud. You have a third of your day and a third of your years in learning Tanakh, a third in Mishnah, and a third in Talmud. Again, to understand the broad range of Torah study. Now, the Gemara over there talks about, Gemara says, really, shalish adam shnosav? How's a person supposed to do that? I'm supposed to figure out, let's see, I figure no one actually makes it to 120. Very few make it to 120. So let's say I'll be somewhat positive. I'll make it to 99, right? So shlish, divides by three very easily. So the first 33 years of my life, I'll study Tanakh. The next 33, I'll study Mishnah. The last 33, I'll study Talmud, and then I'll be good to go. And then I'll tell the Ribbono Shel Olam I'm ready, right? But then that will work out. So the Gemara says, that's ridiculous. The person doesn't know. You don't get a note when you're born exactly how long you have and to divide up your years. Unfortunately, we don't know. That's in the hands of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we have no idea how that works out. Sometimes people live much longer than they ever expected to. I think that was Mickey Mantle's famous line. I think he said, had he known he was going to live that long, he would have taken much better care of himself, because he was known to live somewhat not so nicely. But anyway, we don't know exactly how long we're going to live, the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, no, it means you divide up your days. Right? So Rashi says, what does that mean? Divide up your days. You do 2 days a week in Mikra, 2 days a week in Mishnah, 2 days a week in Talmud. Tos says, what do you mean? What if you die on Wednesday? Then you're going to miss the Talmud. So no, it means you divide up each day. Okay, so you might die at 3 o'clock in the afternoon also. Okay, but that, it will be so small a difference at that point in time, once the time frame is such a small time frame, so we're not so worried about that. But again, that idea of just broadening our Talmud Torah. In fact, it seems to be Machlokas Rishonim, I think we've discussed this in the past, whether the idea of broadening our Talmud Torah and touching a little Mikra, a little Mishnah, a little Talmud every day, whether that's an idea in Yediyas HaTorah, meaning is that the Gemara telling us that we have a chiyuv to know Kala Torah Kula. And the only way you're going to do that is if you study all three areas. And if you study some at the expense of others, then you're never really going to know Kala Torah Kula. So it's sort of the Gemara providing us with a curriculum that learn Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud. So you have a curriculum by which you can finish. So I'll do a Daf Yomi and a Mishnah Yomis, and I'll make sure to do a Perek of Nach Yomi or something like that. And that way, through following that curriculum, which it's a good idea anyway, but that way you'll actually cover everything. You'll learn the important parts of Kala Torah Kula. Or maybe no, maybe it's not a curriculum in Yediyas HaTorah. If that were the case, and the Rambam seems to hold this way, you would only need to do that for a certain amount of time. Because at a certain amount of time, it takes a lot less time to master, let's say, Tanakh than it does to master Talmud, to master the Talmud Bavli. So you would need to only spend an even amount of time for a few years on all three, and then you could focus a lot more on Talmud and pretty much, chazer Tanakh every once in a while. And that's in fact what the Rambam suggests to do, because the Rambam seems to think that it's a din in a curriculum, that you're supposed to try to follow a certain curriculum, whereas the Ran in Maseches Avodah Zarah says, no, it's not about dividing evenly, it's about understanding the breadth of Torah. And you can only really understand the breadth of Torah if every day you touch on a little bit of Mikra, a little bit of Mishnah, a little bit of Talmud. And you understand just how broad Torah is. And that's why it's built into our Siddur. Right? That's what we have. We have built into our Siddur. We have Psukim, and we have Mishnayos, right before Psukim de Zimra. And we have Mishnayos, and we have Gemara, we have Rabbi Shmuel Omer, which is Talmud, to be able to touch upon this breadth of Torah. So in a similar way, this Otzar Menhagim suggests that we read Rus to show within Torah Shebichsav itself this breadth and the different types of Torah Shebichsav. That's why we have a Kriyas HaTorah, which is Chumash, we have a Haftorah, which is Navi, and we have Megillas Rus, which is Ksuvim. Now, the problem with that reason, if that's the reason that we read Rus on Shavuos, it's a little bit out of order. No? We should have had Rus after the Haftarah, not before the Kriya Satorah, which we're going to get back to that Mirza Hashem soon in terms of the order of the Seder Advarim around Kriya Satorah time. A fifth suggestion, a fifth reason, is suggested by the Chida in his Sefer Simchas HaRegel. The Chida writes that Megillas Ruos tries to highlight to us the importance of having the right kavanos when we do things, the importance of having pure intentions, the importance of doing things l'shem shemayim. He says you find a lot of times people might do the wrong things, but when they have the right kavana, it will lead them in the right direction, and ultimately they'll start doing the right things as well. And having kavana, echra marba vechra mamut, v'vachi chavin liba l'shamayim, the fact that rachmana liba bay, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interested in what our kavanos are, he's interested in where we're headed. Now, this is not to say that as long as we have a Jewish heart, it doesn't matter whether we actually follow through with actually practicing Judaism, right? It just means to say that sometimes, even when people don't yet know exactly what's expected of them, and their kavanos are totally l'shem shemayim, those kavanos go a long way as well. And Rus is the primary example of that. Why? Because where does she start from? Where does she come from? What is this idea of an Ammoni and Moavi? Where do these nations come from? It comes from the daughters of Lot, right? We have it in Chumash. And the daughters of Lot look back at Sodom. They assume that the entire world is destroyed, and that it's up to them to keep humanity going, that there's nobody left. Now, they were wrong, and it was the wrong thing to do, to seduce their father to sleep with them. But the kavana, being l'shem shemayim, one daughter more than the other, but the kavana of being l'shem shemayim, of trying to do the right thing, was enabled them to have two great nations, Amun Umav, two large nations, descend from them. Now, we have our issues with Amun Umav throughout history and throughout Tanakh, but still, the fact that such large nations descended from them, including the nations that gave us David HaMelech and gave us the whole Malchus Beis David, that comes from a Kavana Tova. And that's perhaps the emphasis on the Yom Tov Shavuos, that it's not enough. A lot of times we get caught in the X's and O's and the details of Judaism, which are extremely critical. But sometimes we may tend to miss the broader picture. I always like to say over the part that I heard from Rav Mati Alon once, who used to be the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva HaKotel, and he said that at Matan Torah, one of the things that we describe is that roim es hakolos, that people were able to see the voices, they were able to see the sounds. What does it mean to see the sounds? It doesn't mean anything. You can't see sounds. What in the world does that expression even mean? The Chumash uses it. Well, what does that expression mean? So I've mentioned in the past, I'm sure, that Rav Alon pointed out that the way we perceive sound and the way we perceive, the way we take in sight are very different in the following way. That when we see something, we see a picture. I see a room in front of me, I'm seeing thousands of little details, millions of little details all at the same time. I see little plastic things at the bottom of the chairs so that they don't scratch up the carpet, which, by the way, we're missing one on the outside door, but okay, the door stopper, keep that in mind. But anyway, I see like all these millions of little details all over the place. The color, all the colors and everything, and you just perceive it and it's just a gush of visuals all at once, that all come in at one time. Now, do I see every, nuance? You can't really see every nuance because you're looking at this large picture. And that's generally the way we perceive things when we see. When we hear, we tend to hear a detail at a time, a syllable at a time. That's just the way it works. When three people are talking at once, we don't hear anything. Right, that we're not able to hear except for a Kabbalah. So we're not able to hear two voices at one time. We have to hear one syllable at a time. A couple of syllables together, it's a word. A couple of words together, it's a sentence. A couple of sentences together, it's a paragraph. Now we have a picture. Right, after a few paragraphs, but at each moment, all we're taking in is a single syllable. So Rav Alon explains so beautifully. He says that so often when people perceive Torah, sometimes they perceive Torah only like we hear. They perceive detail, detail, detail. And they never really get to that big picture. They're just so caught up in the nuances, so caught up in the details, that's all they see in Torah. And sometimes people's chinuch, the chinuch of our children, is very focused on only that, on only the, you know, technically, what do you have to do now, and now, and now, and just getting all the right, perfect details. Whereas other people have the exact opposite machla. Everything is about the broad picture. Everything is about having a good heart, having a Jewish neshama. You know, it's all about the broad picture. And the details, come on, does God really care about this, that? It's all about, you know, how do I feel about things? How do I connect to God? How connected do I feel? And it's all the way that we visualize things, where there's so much here, and we're not focused on the detail, we're focused on the beauty of the broader picture. And Rav Alon explained, that's what the Chumash means, that when we say Klal Yisrael was Roim Es HaKolos, they were able to perceive it as kolos. It came in as kolos, but they were able to perceive it the way we perceive a larger picture. They were able to perceive the beauty and the grandeur of it all, even though they're looking at the minutiae and the details of Torah. And that's the balance, the delicate balance that we have to strike with Kabbalah Satorah. That's certainly, when we have Kabbalah Satorah, we think of lots and lots of mitzvahs, 613 by people's counts, but really it's thousands and thousands of mitzvahs, because a bunch of mitzvahs don't get counted. So we think of lots and lots of details, and that's critical. But in addition to that, Megillas Rus comes to teach us that in addition to all the details, there's also this sense of a sense of spirituality, a sense of feeling connected, a sense of doing things l'shem shemayim, and that's just as much, if not more, critical than the details themselves. So that's the fifth possible reason why we read Megillas Rus on the Yom Tov of Shavuos. We're halfway there. The sixth possible reason, the Shalos Tshuvos Birchas Yosef writes as follows. He says, "Ulda'ati yesh lomar bezeh, shanu omrim rus b'shvuos, shumitam damrinu b'nazir daf chav gimelam beiz." It's based on a well-known Gemara in Nazir. The Gemara appears in Maseches Pesachim as well. That Amar Abidom Rav, "La'olam yasok adam b'toru b'mitzvah shalolishma, shemitok shalolishma balishma." That a person should do Torah mitzvahs even when he's not lishma, because when a person gets into the habit of observing Torah and doing mitzvos, even shalom lishma, ultimately he'll begin to do mitzvos lishma as well. Shebeschar membeis karbanos shehikrev balak harasha zach aviyatzim imenu rus sheyatzim imenu David shechar laKadosh Baruch Hu b'shiros v'sishpachos. How do you see that when something starts as shalom lishma, ultimately it's balishma? Balak, who's from Moab, what does he do? He brings karbanos. Now, what are his karbanos for? L'shem Shemayim, he loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, he's doing it for bad reasons, not for the right reasons. But he goes and he brings these karbanos. Now, those karbanos, in the schar of those 42 karbanos that he brings, he's able to have Rus descend from him. From Rus comes David. David composes Sefer Tehillim. All these beautiful songs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we would be lost without, right? We realize that. We realize that when we need to turn to the Ribbono Shel Olam and we have no words to describe what we're feeling and we have no way of really connecting to the Ribbono Shel Olam and of knowing how to articulate what we want to say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, all we need to do is look through a Sefer Tehillim and find the Perek of Tehillim that expresses what's in our heart, and it's always there. There's always one like that. You just need to know where to find it. David HaMelech put the words and the music to what we were, you know, to our emotions, which we're unable to really connect to. So what's the ultimate in Lishma is David HaMelech. The ultimate in connectivity to the Ribbono Shel Olam is David HaMelech. So the lesson is, what starts as Shelo Lishma, which is Balak, dryly, not really with any spiritual motivation, bringing Membeis Karbanos, and it leads to this extremely high level lishma, the highest level lishma of a David HaMelech. And that's to drive home the point that it's true, when it comes to Kabbalah Satorah, we don't always feel like it. We don't always feel like what we're doing has meaning to it. We don't always feel like what we're doing is something that connects us to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And nor do we always feel like we're doing things for the right reasons. Now, some people are not bothered by this at all. Some people have no problem with that. It's okay. Well, I'll just keep going. Others are a little more sensitive and have too much integrity, let's say, to the point where they say, well, how can I do this if I don't feel like I'm doing it for the right reasons? If I feel like I'm doing it because I want to get a good shidduch or whatever else, I'm doing something, you know, I'm doing this mitzvah because, but it's not really for the right reasons. I'm doing it because it's socially acceptable, right? You know, the way people dress sometimes. So a woman will just feel sick because in her circles, it's socially acceptable to dress that way. Or whatever, a guy will come to Minyan because there's only one shul in the town and everyone's going to know he's not there and everyone's very frum, and that's a socially acceptable thing to do. And sometimes people who are very high integrity people feel like, well, that's wrong. I shouldn't do things that are just, I'm just doing it because it's shalom l'shma and it's, people are going to like me more, or whatever my motivation might be, shalom l'shma. So the point that we need to drive home on the Yom Tov of Shavuos is, you're right, it's not the best to do things shalom l'shma. But we still do things shalom l'shma because we have the hope that through doing mitzvah shalom l'shma, one day we'll arrive at a sense of l'shma. One of my old friends in Chavrusas, Rabbi Chaskel Freulich, once told me when I was in Keren B'Yavne, he said that his grandfather had told him that the word is that li'olam yasod adam tor mitzvah shalom l'shma. That a person, the word li'olam, he thought was a critical word also. He said his grandfather told him, why doesn't it just say, be osik in tor mitzvah shalom l'shma, shem yitok shalom l'shma bal l'shma? What's li'olam? Li'olam sounds like it's indefinite, meaning always do things shalom l'shma. What do you mean? I hope that it will only be shalom l'shma for a short while, and then ultimately I'll get to the point of l'shma. So he says that he said in the name of his grandfather that no, the olam is, if a person feels like he's totally at the l'shma stage, then he's probably not there yet. If a person is sensitive enough to realize the slight traces of lo l'shma in what he does in his mitzvah performance, then he's going to get to a point of l'shma. When a person feels like, ah, I'm there already, I got it, and then all my Torah mitzvahs, it's all l'shma, I'm perfect, then he's not very likely to get to a genuine sense of l'shma. A person needs to look at themselves very honestly and try to really figure out why we do things and what motivates us. And when we take that honest look at ourselves, we'll understand that probably li'olam, for all of our lives, there will be a little bit of a shalom l'shma in everything that we do. We just try to move that line over. Meaning if we start out at 99% shalom l'shma, which is how most of us start out as children, just doing it because it makes our parents happy, and it's 99.9% shalom l'shma, and we try to move that line over to the point where we're 99.9% l'shma. But that's the idea of Megillas Rus. That was reason number, I forgot already, number six. Okay, so reason number seven, suggestion number seven, why it is that we read Megillas Rus on the Yom Tov Shavuos is suggested by the Chida. The Chida in Sefer Simchas HaRegel on Megillas Rus suggests that the Megillas Rus is a book of Nechama for us. That a lot of times, you know, we look at people who learn Torah, people who excel in Torah, people who espouse a Torah point of view and who we admire and who we think should really be respected and should really be living a much better life than they are, and we feel like it's not fair. And we feel like here are people who are doing everything right, and we're bothered by tzaddik v'ralo. And we're bothered by how much people who are wonderful people have to struggle and have to suffer. Someone in the shul actually was recently telling me about his Rosh Hashiva, someone who he knows to be a very special person and a big tzaddik, and he's telling me about his Rosh Hashiva, who he admires so much, that all the struggles that he had with cancer and with illness in the family also, and you know, all these. And he says the one kasha I have in life is not about anything that happened to me. Someone here in the shul told me that it's not anything that happened to me. It's why does he have to suffer? This is a man who he represents everything of what Torah should be. Why does he have to suffer? So Megillas Rus, says the Chida, is meant to be a little bit of a nechama, because the Mishnah Navos says kol ha'mekayim es ha'Torah me'oni sofa l'kayma me'osher. That we start fulfilling the Torah me'oni if we show that even through the most difficult times we're willing to observe the Torah me'oni, ultimately we'll be able to observe the Torah with a sense of osher. Now, obviously, not every doesn't work for every Torah scholar in this world that he's going to see that sense of osher. A lot of times he feels that sense of osher even when other people look at him and only see a sense of oni. But that's the nechama of Megillas Rus, because in Rus's story you really see it. She starts out with a tremendous sense of oni, without a penny to her name, and ultimately she marries Boaz, and you know, he's a well-to-do fellow, and she lives okay. ultimately it works out okay for her, starting off with a tremendous Mesirus Nefesh, and it seems that it wasn't really headed anywhere positive fast. So says the Chida, the Efshar, the Chida says, says it's possible that this is a gzeira at the beginning of a person's limudim when he wants to become a Talmud Chacham, when he wants to become a Bal Torah. Ozlo yiftzor sheyavro lav eza me'gzeiro se'elo ha'elu ochetzion o'ruban kol echa kefi shorosh nishmaso. It's natural for God to throw tests his way, for a person to have obstacles to overcome. Aval achar shezach le'torah v'nasa bal torah v'gav rabba be'emes. Oz yiskayim ein lecha ben chorin el misha osik b'torah. When the person is mechazik himself and he learns and he works and he studies and he becomes a real Baal Torah, then it's going to be mekuyam in him, it's going to be fulfilled in him, the idea that ein lecha ben chorin el misha osik b'torah, that the only free man is someone who learns Torah. Va'amru sofa l'kayma me'osher. And we know that ultimately we're going to be mekayim Torah with osher. And that's the reason that we read Rus on the Yom Tov of Shavuos, again, to highlight to us that there is hope, that there is a positive end to someone who has this incredible dedication. That was reason number 7. Reason number 8 is suggested by the Chidush HaRim. Chidush HaRim writes that because of Rus, the halacha of Amoni v'lo Amonis, Moavi v'lo Moavis was in Schadish. Right, that was where Boaz had to decide, are you allowed to marry her? Right, so Amoni v'lo Amonis, Moavi v'lo Moavis became a halacha that you're allowed to marry the females from Moab through Megillas Rus, and that was a drasha in Torah Shebal Peh. So the whole story of Rus and what Rus represents to our Masorah works only if you accept Torah Shebal Peh. If you were to accept only Torah Shebichsav, it wouldn't happen, because you would just say, Loyova Amoni Moavi B'kal Hashem, and that's it. She's shut out. In fact, later on in the times of David HaMelech, Doeg tried to shut David HaMelech out from the Malchus by saying that it can't be. He's from Moab. It shouldn't work. He shouldn't be allowed to become a Melech. But because of Torah Shebal Peh, that's what Rus represents to us. And again, similar to what we said before, that it's with the Minhagim, it's with Torah Shebal Peh, we understand that the Torah is not only Torah Shebichsav, which is sort of interesting, because one of the answers we gave before was that we want to cover all of Torah Shebichsav. Right? So we said we cover Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim also with Rus. But it's more than just all of Torah Shebichsav, it's Torah Shebal Peh as well. And Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank writes something very similar in his Sefer Mikrai Kodesh. He writes that the reason we read Rus on Chag HaShavuos is Mipnei Shemei Rus Yotza Malchus Beis David V'lachein B'Chag HaShavuos Man Matan Torasenu Korum Megillas Rus Shemisham Nilmad SheTorah Bal Peh Iker. It's from Rus that we learn that Torah Shebal Peh is the primary. Shemibli Drashas Chacham Mamoni V'Lamonos Mavi V'Lamavis. Without this drashas chazal, Rus would have been lost. We never would have had a Rus. That's why she's
the one that led to David HaMelech to teach us what keeps Klal Yisrael going. What keeps Klal Yisrael going is our Torah Shebal Peh, even more so than our Torah Shebichsav. Torah Shebichsav is something that, although it is ours, and we should lay claim to Torah Shebichsav and not, just give in and allow others to claim it, but it is something that you can find in any hotel room, along with other books, but you can find it in, it's something that's not unique to Klal Yisrael. Torah Shebal Peh is something that's entirely unique to Klal Yisrael. So it's because of Torah Shebal Peh that's what keeps Klal Yisrael going throughout the generations. And that's what we want to highlight on the Yom Tov of Shavuos. And that's why the Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank adds in, it's B'davka and Shavuos, that Shavuos is the holiday of Torah Shebal Peh. Why is Shavuos the holiday of Torah Shebal Peh? It seems like the holiday of Torah Shebichsav, right? Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Luchos, it seems like the holiday of Torah Shebichsav. He says, no, look at, how do we decide when the Yom Tov of Shavuos comes? How do we decide what day to celebrate Shavuos? So the Pasuk says, Mimachras HaShabbos, the day after Shabbos, whatever that is, you count 50 days, and then after the 50 days, that's the Yom Tov of Shavuos. So this was the main yesod of the Machlokas between the Tzedukim and the Prushim. The Tzedukim said, Mimachras HaShabbos means I have to always start counting on a Sunday. And that's the way it's going to work. That's how the Sfira always works. And that's how you end up at Shavuos. And we say, no, Shabbos means the day after the first day of Pesach. So the second day of Pesach, you start counting Sfira Somer. Mimachas Shabbos. It's not Lav Dafka on a day of the week. There is no specific day of the week. So it's Dafka. The whole Yom Tov is only Nikva based on Torah Shebal Peh. If you had the other Yom Tov, it tells us an exact date in the Torah, Shebichsav. But Torah Shebichsav doesn't give us a date for the Yom Tov Shavuos. The whole Yom Tov only works within Torah Shebal Peh. So the whole Yom Tov is only going to work within Torah Shebal Peh. That's a time where we want to drive home the importance of Torah Shebal Peh. So we should realize the Yom Tov Shavuos is not only a Yom Tov that's about Torah Shebichsav, it's about Torah Shebal Peh as well. That's reason number 8. We got 2 more and 2 minutes to go. So let's see if we can get the last 2 in. Reason number 9, the Bukhar Shar, Meseches Bava Basra, Daf Yud Gimel, and it's also quoted by the Chidah in his Bircha Yosef, and it's quoted in a number of other Sfarim, suggests that we read Rus on the Yom Tov Shavuos to be Miyaches David HaMelech, to show the Yichus of David HaMelech on the day of his birth, on his birthday, which happened to have been on Shavuos. So we read Megillas Rus because we find that David HaMelech was Nispakesh L'Shamayim B'Chag HaShavuos. He died on Shavuos, and if he died on Shavuos, the Mistama, he was also born on Shavuos, right? The Gemara in Shabbos tells us this fantastic story about how David HaMelech's end came about, right, where David HaMelech was learning Torah constantly, because hoping to be able to beat the Malach HaMavis, and the Malach HaMavis won't be able to get a hold of him, and the Malach HaMavis managed to distract him for a moment, and when he was distracted, that's when the Malach HaMavis got him. But it was through the Talmud Torah, through the learning of Torah, that kept him alive. And there's a Mesorah in the Torah Shebal Peh that David HaMelech died on the Yom Tov Shavuos, and if he died on the Yom Tov Shavuos, Tzadikim die on the day that they're born. It was also his birthday. So when we're going through his Yichus, when we go through the book that tells us his Yichus, suggests the Bechor Shar and the Birkei Yosef, we want to do it on his birthday, which is an interesting Maramakum in general. Last week, when I came into my classroom, my Talmidim had decorated the room and bought cakes and stuff. It was they found out that it was my Hebrew birthday last Shabbos. So last Friday, they wanted to come up with a good excuse to battle from learning on Friday. So they came and they threw a whole big party. So I said, you think we're going to battle? We're not going to battle. I said, thank you, but we're not going to battle. So can you say Dvar Torah about a birthday at least? So there are makoros, very few makoros, about the value and the meaning of a birthday in Judaism. But this is a good one. I didn't even think of this one. This is a good one. The Chidah says that we're celebrating David HaMelech's birthday. So the day that we're miyachis in Megillas Rus, because it's Takeh's birthday. So we want to celebrate that the day of his birthday. The final reason that's given for reading Megillas Rus on the Yom Tov Shavuos is in Sefer Moadei Kodesh. He quotes here in the Sefer Moadei Simcha from the Sefer Moadei Kodesh from Rav Binyamin Adler, who says that it's in order to teach us the importance of Gemilas Chasadim that comes along with Torah. That Torah alone doesn't survive without Gemilas Chasadim that helps it out. That's what the Medrash Rabbah in Rus says. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Megillah zu ein ba lo hilchos tuma, v'lo hilchos tara, lo iser v'heter. This Megillah doesn't have halachas of tuma, doesn't have halachas of tara, doesn't have halachas of kashrus. V'lama nichtava, why is this Megillah written? So you could see how much schar a person gets for being a gomel chesed. So we read Megillas Rus to teach us on the day of Matan Torah that as much as we read in the Torah about all of the details of Torah and all the tumah and tara and everything else, we have to realize that Gemilas Chasadim is also one of the Amudei HaOlam, and it has to partner together with Torah in order to make a Jew a complete person. So we didn't get to the other topics, but at least we got through our top 10 list. Okay.